Great is our God, and he's greatly to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we thank God for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being present in this place of praise and prayer, place of his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And certainly we thank him for setting the table so that we can eat his word, which is his bread, and drink his water, which is his word. So good to see you. Good to be back among you. Thank you for your prayers. On last week, we were in Mississippi doing a conference. And Reverend McCoy done so well. Amen. That I started to let him have the whole month, but I don't think that would have set too well. But it's good to be back and good to see you and see the excitement and enthusiasm on your faces that radiates from your hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you fix us. Lord, we pray that you feed us. Give us your truth, Lord, that we be the better. As we receive your word, we pray, Lord, that it becomes active in our lives, that we be not fools hearing your word and not obeying it, but we'll be wise as a master builder, digging deep to strike rock, to lay the foundation on the rock. The rock is Christ. Thank you, Lord, for each and every soul that's present, each and every person and soul that's watching virtually. We pray that you give us oneness, Lord, that your word will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. We, as always, ask for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing of our hearts. Lord, as we acknowledge, Lord, our need of you, our dependence on you, Lord, we need you every day. Every moment, every second in the day. So have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. We be careful to give your name the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. I'm a church member. I'm a church member. Not to be looked upon as something minute or trivial or a minor, but is to be valued and respected, that God has called us out of the world, out of darkness, and has positioned us in the body of his Son. We are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Wonderful place to be. Because it's only in Christ are we saved, sealed, and satisfied. Amen. He has not only called us out of the world into Christ, but he has called us unto the work of Christ. That Christ has left responsibility for every blood bought, every confessing, every person who believes him to be Lord and Savior. Amen. That the work of the kingdom of God continues. So tonight, we're not just dealing with church member, being a church member, but we put emphasis on functioning church member. We've already concluded a few weeks ago that if you're going to be a functional church member or a functioning church member, you need to know the spiritual gifts that's given to the believer for the operation functionality of the body. That every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And it may not be what you like, because God is not into satisfying your desires. He's not so much into, you know, giving you what you like, but he gives you what's necessary to benefit someone else. That he calls our focus from self, that we don't be so self-serving and self-desiring, self-satisfying, but we put self aside to serve others. That's what it's about. That's what he has called us to. The body of Christ is a collection of members with different operation, the ministrations, gifts for the function of the body. We dealt with that in 1 Corinthians 12. And I've even said that, you know, some denominations say that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And I said that the evidence of being saved is not speaking in tongues, because everyone doesn't have the same gift. And it's clearly stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But being saved, God has given you a supernatural spiritual ability,
yes,
to benefit someone else.
Amen.
To benefit the body.
Amen.
You need to take some time in prayer and ask God to reveal unto you what your spiritual gift is, or your spiritual gifts are.
Amen.
You need to know so you can function. I want to function. I don't want to be just idly sitting. I want to function. I want to be the best I can be for God.
Amen.
And the only way I can do that is I need to know what my spiritual gift or my spiritual gifts are.
Amen.
He gives the charismatas in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't want to go through that again, but, you know, I want to kind of encourage you to go back and read so you'll be knowledgeable of what the gifts are. You need to know your gift so you can function. You can be active. Because the truth is, there is no such member as an inactive member.
Amen.
Kind of letting it simple. No, he calls you to activity.
Yes, sir.
He calls you to action. So there's no such member as an inactive member. He didn't call you to spectate, to watch other people operate.
Amen.
He didn't call you to just benefit off of what others are doing and not be of a benefit to others.
Amen.
No, he called you to play your part, to fulfill your role.
Amen.
For the function of the body. Now, he deals with, you know, the Corinthians desiring the most notable gifts, you know, gifts that would merit them some attention, acclaim. You know, they wanted to be seen. And so he had to address that as an issue, that you don't operate in your gift to just be seen.
Amen.
Or for someone to just brag about.
Amen.
You know, how spiritual you are.
Amen.
You know, not that you get puffed up.
Amen.
In airheaded. You know how some people head so high in the air, if it started raining, they'll drown.
Amen.
No, that's not what spiritual gifts for. It's not to sit around in clutters and brag about how God is using you.
Amen.
Because it's not a conversation piece.
No.
Remember now that the gifts are given so that you benefit someone else. It's an exchange. It's mutuality. It's mutual responsibility that we have one to another. We talked about how many one to another statements are in the New Testament that we are to benefit. So it's a mutual responsibility. That if you're lagging, if you're slacking with the use of your gift, you are hampering the operation of the body.
Amen.
Y'all say amen.
Amen.
All right, so we understand what the spiritual gifts are. But now let me go deeper. Because if we're going to function as church members, there has to be love as the foundation. Because he goes from chapter 12 dealing with the gifts, but then he talks about a more excellent way, the last verse of chapter 12, and then he gets into love being the affection, the affectionate attitude and action behind all we do. That if you're doing anything void and absent of love, it's nothing. It's nothing. It profits the body nothing. Now let's look at it. Let's look at it because we're dealing with chapter 13, chapter 13. But now, let me go back to chapter 12, verse 31. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. He says, though, here it is, 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. It's just a noise. It's just a noise. Listen, people will take what you have to say if they know love is behind what you're saying.
Amen.
Y'all get it? They will take what you have to say if they know love is behind what you're saying. Because love makes the difference. It's not just a noise. When you're speaking out of the heart, when you're speaking out of love, it's not just a sound, an unfamiliar sound. It's a sound that can be identified with. So he says, number one, I need love in my speech, in what I say. Here it is. Number two, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. In other words, you can be a person of knowledge, but who cares about your knowledge if love is not detected? You can be a person of exceptional abilities, marvelous and miraculous works, but if love is not the force behind what you do, it profits people nothing. So he deals with speech. He deals with preaching, understanding, being a person that understands mysteries, being deep, having knowledge, deep knowledge, knowledge of the things of God and all of that kind of thing. And he says, even having faith to move mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow, here it is, you can be sacrificial. You can be a liberal giver. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. I said to us a while ago that God, he's a detector of the heart. So it's not so much of what you give through your hand, because you can give great amounts through the hand with no heart behind it. Now, I'm not telling you not to give, because he says where a man's treasure is, where his heart is. But what I'm saying is, you can give to be seen of men, and you can be impressive to man because you're giving large amounts. You know, we love that. You know, if I just post your extraordinary giving, you know, your what's perceived to be sacrificial in your giving. And he says, if there's no love behind it, it profits nothing. So you telling me, preacher, that I can be going through all of this and the body profits nothing? That's what Paul is saying. And he says the reason so being is because there's a void or an absence of love. Love. Listen, you know, as a pastor, I really just want people to fall in love with the Lord. Let me tell you the difference. When you fall in love with the Lord, people don't have to make up rules to try to handle you.
Amen.
You know, you got to come up with all this stuff, you know, because they say, you know, law is for the lawless. But if you fall in love with him, I don't have to tell you to come to church.
Amen.
Because you're in love with him.
Amen.
I don't have to tell you to give.
Amen.
Because you're in love with him. I don't have to tell you to forgive. I don't have to tell you to love others because you're in love with the Lord.
Amen.
See, I just wish and pray that people would really fall in love with the Lord.
Amen.
Because a lot of people are trying to do this without love. And that's why it's so hard. That's why it's so hard to get up on Sunday and get dressed. For some people, it's because they have a love issue. It has nothing to do with, you know, with what's going to happen at the church outside of, you know, because they don't have love, they're not in tune and in touch with what's happening.
Amen.
Listen, when you have a love issue, you have an issue with everything.
Amen.
Try to go home to somebody you don't love. I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. Try to lay in the same bed with somebody you don't love. Try to raise children with somebody you don't love. Try riding in the same car. Going to the same event. It's going to show. It's going to show in your attitude, and it's going to show in your actions. So he's dealing with love, 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 love. Now, love has to be the foundation for the use of spiritual gifts, administrations, and operations. So spiritual gifts, administrations, and operations are to be founded on love. Now, that's the more excellent way. Now, look at 14 verse 1. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. But now, I want you to understand, he says, follow after charity. Now, notice, he sandwiches chapter 13, in the middle of 12 and 14. He leaves out with love being the way to be excellent. And then in 14, he deals with follow after charity.
Amen.
And then he gives a whole big layout in chapter 13 of what he means by charity.
Amen.
And what charity looks like.
Yes.
Y'all have time?
Yes, sir.
Notice what he said in verse 4. Charity suffers long. If you're going to be a functional church member, you need to know how to suffer. You need some patience. You need some patience. You can't instantly get everything. You know, we're used to that. Instantly receiving. You know, that's the world we live in. You know, everything is at a finger touch. You know, at the mashing of a button. You know, we're so used to things being instant. But listen, if you're going to be a functional church member, you need some patience. Now, let me show you how God gives it to you. Let me show you how God develops patience in your life. Because it's not just you just sitting there thinking about patience. You know, and just saying, well, you know what? I'm patient now. You know how we do it. Well, I'm patient now.
Amen.
Now go over to James with me. James chapter 1. Let me show you how the Lord works patience in your life. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, he's going to allow trouble to come into your life of various kinds. If you want some patience, you're going to have to go through some suffering.
Amen.
You're going to have to go through some trouble.
Amen.
Listen, if you don't have it, just keep on keeping on. Yeah, he allows some stuff coming in your life. You know how you be praying, Lord, give me the patience of Job. You know, you want to be real deep and spiritual then. Now, you know you can't handle losing 10 children. You know you can't handle losing your family, your finances in one day. And then to hear the rhetoric of a foolish wife, you know you can't handle that.
Amen.
But listen, to develop patience in your life, he allows temptations of many sorts. That's what divers temptations mean. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience.
Yes.
Oh, my God. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You have to go through some things. You have to endure some sufferings. And in that, in the sufferings, he produces patience. You know what happens when you go through? You come to grips with your inability.
Amen.
And your need to wait on God.
Amen.
Have you ever been in a situation before where all you could do was call on God?
Amen.
He had to strip you of you thinking you can do something to improve the situation. And it's until, you know, we talked about that surrender. Until you come to this. And then he deals with you. He makes you come to this. But it takes a while before you get to this.
Amen.
before you come to a point of surrender. And what God is doing is revealing your inability and his ability. See, you need patience with dealing with fellow church members. Because the truth is, none of us got it all together. I know you like to get on the phone and talk about sister such and such and brother such and such, but believe you me, while you talking about them, somebody talking about you. Your name come up in some conversation too. Y'all say amen. See, you got to have some patience, some long suffering. You can't be so quick to cut people off and be so quick to be out with people. You can't be so short fused, so impatient with people, because God is patient with you. God is patient with me. So you got to long suffer. That's the first thing. That if you are going to be functional and functioning in the body, you need patience. He says you need to be kind. Kind. You don't need to be mean. You need to be kind. You need to be pleasant for people to talk to. And easy for people to approach. You know, some people, you know, you can tell on their face that they don't want nothing to do with you. When they look at you, they don't even smile. You know what that look saying? Don't you come up here. Go on now. But you need to be kind. And pleasant to approach, pleasant to talk to. Kind. Then he goes on to say, now, if you're going to be a functional member, he says, you don't need to envy. You know, a strong dislike, disapproval because you desire what someone else has. Listen, one thing you ought to be happy about is seeing a fellow believer blessed. Amen. You know, I taught my children coming up, don't live, you know, at the bottom. You know, live your best life now.
Amen.
You know, live your best life. Live your life to the fullest. And listen, when a person is blessed of God, it shouldn't anger you.
Amen.
Get what you can get.
Amen.
I said to my son today, I said, man, you got one shot at it.
Amen.
All of us got one shot at it. And you don't need to just live a life. You need to live your best life.
Yes.
And I'm not just speaking of that in material things now, but listen, when a fellow church member is blessed, you know, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Listen, stop trying to sick God on folk.
All right.
You know, because you don't want them blessed.
Amen.
You know, one of my friends, my buddy Dr. Johnson, he says you need to learn to shout when it's not your turn. I like that. He loves that boy. He said, you need to learn to shout when it's not your turn. Shout when somebody else's turn.
Amen.
Another priest said, you know, you can shout because God is still in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And he's still ringing doorbells, dropping off blessings.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so you don't need to envy. If you're going to be functional, you can't be a person of envy. But then you can't be a person that's selfish.
Amen.
That vaults self. You know, some people, that's all it's about.
Yeah.
Themselves, what they can get.
Yeah.
But that's not what functioning is as a church member. You can't be selfish.
Amen.
Selfish. You have to be considerate of others and mindful of others and give yourself for the sake of others.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, the Bible says over in Romans that we are to give ourselves as what? Living sacrifice. That means that you climb on the altar every day. You sacrifice yourself every day. You got to get self out of the way. Because it's really not the person that's talking about you who's your worst enemy. Your worst enemy is the person you make up. You know that person you put in that rudge?
Amen.
That person you brushing hair.
Uh-huh.
That person you looking at in the mirror.
Yeah. Amen.
That's your biggest problem.
Amen.
My biggest problem is me.
Amen.
I can admit it.
Amen.
I'm so much in my way. And see, that's when you start working with yourself.
Amen.
When you understand that everything else outside of you is really not the main issue.
Amen.
The main issue is you preferring you all the time.
Amen.
Nobody can get along with you.
Amen.
Because every conversation is about you.
Amen.
I don't care what the conversation is. If I catch a fish that's 2 pounds, you catch 1 5.
Amen.
You just can't let me out. You can't do it, you know. And you have to watch self.
Yes, sir.
Because self will vault itself. I have to constantly check me.
Yes, sir.
That's why we have to die daily. He didn't say kill somebody else daily.
No,
he says, die daily.
Yes, sir.
That we kill ourselves.
Amen.
Daily. I'm still in the book now.
You ain't got that.
So you can't be selfish. You know, you can't be puffed up. You know, feel that, you know, you're more than everybody else.
Amen.
You know, you can't be puffed up. You know, love, you know, functioning love, it's proper in actions. So it's not improper. You can't do the wrong thing and claim love. You can't do what's improper because the spirit is decent.
Yes.
Now I'm getting there because in chapter 14, verse 40 says, let all things be done decent and in order.
Yes, sir.
So when you start getting out,
yes, sir,
and acting out, huh, and blaming it on the Holy Spirit, stop. Now, you know the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to say some of the stuff you're saying.
Amen.
You know the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to go off on folks.
Amen.
You know that's improper.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me now.
Amen.
You know the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to look at people with murderous eyes. You know?
Amen.
You know, grin your teeth, you know.
Amen.
And clutching your fists. Those are improper.
Yes, sir.
Actions. So the Holy Spirit, that love does not behave itself unseemly. Is not provoked. And does not keep a record of wrong. Stop keeping tabs.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Stop keeping tabs. Now let me deal with this a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Because the only reason we keep tabs is we try to use the tabs as a control mechanism.
Yes, sir. Yes.
When you keep tabs, you don't ever let a person that have wronged you live down what they have done.
Amen.
That's not love.
Amen.
What if God had a ledger with all of your sins written in it? Can you imagine getting into the gate and the Lord opening up that ledger day by day? The record of your wrong. All them times you fell on your knees and you asked God to forgive you. And because you didn't forgive, you know, you said you did, but you kept a ledger. You kept record. And you get there, and he just opened up. He says, well, since you kept all of what Joe did,
yeah,
and all of what Shaquita did,
yeah,
and all of what Jack and Jill did, here's what you did.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen.
Because you kept record.
Amen.
See, that's not love. What love does is forgive. I hear you. I hear your spirit. I hear you. Well, Reverend, I can forgive and not forget.
Look out now. Go ahead. Amen.
But you know, the Lord says that in dealing with your sins, he throw them in the sea of forgetfulness to be brought up no more. And there you are talking about not forgetting.
Amen.
Story is, Jacob, according to Esau, mistreated his brother. And Esau vowed in his heart that he would kill Jacob if the last thing he'd do. Time lapsed because Jacob was sent to his uncle Laban's house.
Mm-hmm.
And time lapsed between what Esau perceived to be the mistreatment. And after he had been gone to his brother, uncle Laban's house, away from home for over 15 years, possibly 20 years, their paths crossed.
Amen.
But let me tell you what God was doing. While he was working on Jacob,
look out now. God, look out now.
He was working on Esau. And that's what you have to give yourself to. You have to give yourself to God to know that while God is working on you, he's working on the other person too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And after 20 years, when their paths cross,
yes,
instead of Esau killing Jacob,
yeah,
he fell on his neck and kissed him.
Amen.
And wept. What if he would have been like some of us? I forgive, but I don't forget. The question I ask, what's your purpose for remembering?
Look out. Amen. Amen.
What's your purpose of remembering? Keeping it on your mind.
Yes, sir.
If vengeance is not your intention. Let me go on, because
that's good.
Notice if you're going to be functional as a church member, a member of love, you don't rejoice in iniquity, but you rejoice in the truth. Let me give you a picture. The church at Corinth, Paul, he had to correct them in the earlier chapters because there was a boy in the church that was sleeping with his father's wife. And instead of them being grieved by the boy's actions, improper actions, immoral actions, they were sitting around boasting. And Paul had to correct them in this letter about such a response to immorality.
Amen.
That if you know a person is caught up in sin, don't you congratulate them.
Amen.
And condone.
Amen.
But you have to speak truth,
yes,
regardless of how close that person is to you.
Amen.
Because what truth does,
yes,
is set free.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
So when you start talking along with them about, you know, that behavior and all of that, and you make that behavior all right, and all of that, what you're doing is you're acting out of love. Outside of
Amen.
Love. That's not love. Because love corrects those in whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He corrects.
Amen.
So you have to love. You have to love. I have a few more minutes. You have to love. You have to love. And love speaks truth.
Yes.
Now let me tell you what'll happen. They may fall out with you. But one thing got to happen. They got to come back round to truth.
Amen. Amen.
See, I don't need people in my life that's just going to tell me what I want to hear.
Amen. Amen.
No, I need some people that know the power of truth.
Yes, sir.
And who's not afraid to speak truth to power.
Amen.
Listen, and you need people in your life like that. People who will correct you. Now, you may fall out with them.
Amen.
But guess what? As the clock keep ticking, you're going to have to go back around.
Yes.
You're going to have to go back around and get truth now.
Yes.
But you need truth. And you can rejoice in truth. Now you need people who bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Listen to that. Bear all things, believes all things. Now that's not to be naive. These are the things of God. Hope all things. Endure all things. One more time. Bear all things.
Yes.
Believe all things.
Amen.
Hope
Amen.
All things. Endure all things.
Amen.
They're going to have to bear. Bear. It goes back to this patience. Bear. You're going to have to take some stuff off people. You have to bear people in their weakness.
Amen.
Some people are weak to certain things.
Amen.
And because that's not your weakness, don't turn from them in their weakness. Help them bear it.
Amen.
Had friends, and they would always ask me, why you hang out with that person? You know they're doing such and such. I said, well, you know, I have to bear all things. If I'm a true friend,
Amen.
I have to bear all things.
Amen.
You're going to have to get under it.
Amen.
With them. And help them shoulder it.
Yes, sir.
People don't need you to abandon them.
Yes,
when they're at their lowest. You know, we have a knack of that. And we call it spiritual. You know, have you ever thought that's the reason why you have different people in the body? Everybody in the body is not like you.
Amen.
Everybody in the body don't have the same issues as you.
Amen.
But when you understand what the Lord has done and how he has joined us together, remember, when one hurts, all hurts. So you have to help bear, not abandon, but bear all things. You got to believe.
Amen.
You know, if you're in a relationship and you don't believe it can get better, why are you still in it?
Amen.
If you're in a friendship and you don't think it's going to get better,
Amen.
You don't believe it's going to get better, why are you still in it? If you're in a church, and you don't think the church can get better,
Amen.
Why are you in it? You know why I come and preach and teach? Because I believe.
Amen.
I believe God is going to do his thing every time I mount that pulpit and every time I stand before
Amen.
The people.
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
I believe, listen, when others are singing God's praises, I believe something marvelous and miraculous is happening. I believe when ushers are standing at the door that something marvelous and miraculous is happening. I believe. When deacons and trustees and pastor's wife and minister wives and trustee and deacon wives are doing devotion, something major and miraculous is happening. I wouldn't come and take part in a service, a ceremony, if I didn't believe.
Amen.
You have to believe. That's what love does. You know, you see it in a mother's love for a child. Regardless of how wayward that child gets, that mama believe.
Yes, sir.
Baby, he gonna change, baby. Baby, she gonna change. And love make them keep going.
Amen.
Because they believe.
Amen.
In all things.
Amen.
That's what love does. Listen to this one. Hopes all things. It gives the ability to see beyond the now. It may not be what it ought to be now. You may not be what you ought to be now.
Amen.
But my hope is reaching
Amen.
Into the near and distant future
yes, sir.
To see you better.
Amen.
Hope all things. And then he goes on to say, endureth.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is again, that word patient.
Amen.
He keeps talking about, you know, dealing with other people, enduring.
Yes, sir.
You know, putting up with, taking stuff off of, and not, you know, going AWOL, abandoning your post, but doing it with love. Keep doing it with love.
Amen.
He says, endure all things. Now here's the climax. He says, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. One day preaching will be no more.
Amen.
Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You won't be in heaven speaking in tongues. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. You know, all of your sophistication, your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
See, when the Lord comes to get us, He's going to do away with all the human sentimentalities. And you will be made like unto Christ in his glorification. You can't be like Christ with your same knowledge. He speaks about how limited we are in our knowledge. We limit it. We see through a glass darkly. We don't see the full picture. You see it? He goes on to say that, you know, for that reason, we prophesy in part. We can't preach the full counsel.
Amen.
Want to, but can't.
Yes, sir.
Because we can't understand it in full.
No, sir.
It's too deep for us.
Yes,
he give us help, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to help us, but it's too deep. And he goes on to say, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now, listen to this.
Amen.
And I'm done. Now abides faith, hope, charity. These three. Faith, hope, charity. Faith, confidence in God.
Amen.
Hope. You know, we don't hope for what we see.
Amen.
But somewhat of a perspective of what's to come.
Amen.
And we know things will be better. Amen. Because Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
That's our hope. But then he goes on to say love. And he says the greatest of these.
Amen.
Is love.
Is love.
Because what's your faith without love?
Amen.
What's your hope without love?
Love.
I'm going to leave you with this one. Earnestly desire the gift that would best benefit the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Get self out of the way. And make it about the cause of Christ. And do it with love. And God will take what you're doing.
Amen.
And work major miracles in the lives of other people. Because he'll work through you. And through the supernatural spiritual ability that he has given you. That's how you function as a church member. I'm going to wrap up chapter 1 next time. We'll wrap up next time. I'm still in chapter 1. I thought I would be in chapter 3 or so by now, but I'll wrap it up next time. All right. Let us stand quickly. Let us stand quickly. Are there any prayer requests?
Atkins and Finch,
all right. Atkins and Finch.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Three.
All right. Any other prayer requests? Eli Franklin. All right.
Sister Eden.
Sister LaShore. All right. Chapman. Kings. Say that again. One more time. Jeremiah. Glaster. Okay. All right. All right, Sandy Perry and heal family. Hart and Johnson. Johnny Ruffin. All right.
Thomas Perry.
All right. Van and Walker family. The Bibbs family. Any others?
Bertha McLean,
Janice McLean and Bertha McLean. Sherelle Hill, all right.
Latonja LaShore.
Bill, all right. Pray for Sister Green. Sister Earlene Green, she had surgery, knee replacement. Good to see Deacon Bowie back among us. He's been out a few Sundays under the weather, but thank God for his presence. All right, anyone else? Father, you heard all, you know all, but we lay them at your feet, Lord, by name. We don't have to send you anywhere because you're everywhere at the same time. But we ask that you touch with mercy and grace, Lord, to bring about health and healing to those who are sick, comfort, Lord, to those who are bereaved and troubled, Lord, peace and joy, Lord, to those who are disturbed. Have your way, Lord, in us and through us. Touch us all. Bless us according to your holy word and will. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our lives already and what you are doing and what you will do. We count it done. Continue to bless our church, Lord, that we be a beacon, Lord, in the darkness, that others will be drawn unto your marvelous light, Lord, to be saved. Thank you for this teaching opportunity and moment. We pray that your word, Lord, will fall fresh, Lord, on the ears of your people. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the church. Lord, we ask that you lead us from this place. Give us traveling grace, Lord, and arriving mercies. Bless us, Lord, with rest and relaxation, that, Lord, we'll be rejuvenated to get up and do it again tomorrow, if it's your will. Lord, lift up every bow down head. Bless every troubled and contrite spirit. Lord, be with us, Lord, in our day to day. We thank you for opening doors that no man can shut, and shutting doors that no man can open. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.